from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path.
Yes, you are.
And we're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's the good to be here doing what I do.
I agree. It's fun to be here.
Here's the deal. I was praying on the way here. I usually do because, you know, the show can go terribly. And
I've never seen that happen.
I said, Jesus, you know, you do what you want with this thing. But just know, if left to our own devices, it could be terrible.
Yeah, it'd be awful.
But I was praying on the way here, and I was thinking about my life, because, like, I have a cool life. I was thinking as I was driving in, I'm like, I get to do a lot of cool things. I know a lot of cool people. I get to spend time in a cool church. I get to learn how to deal with Dan.
And I'm not cool sure people. He was talking about you or I, Dan.
I think I'm a cool people.
No, Dan, you're definitely in that category. So anyway, I was thinking that on the way in, and I thought, you know, I'd read we were going over the story of Job with the kids today, and I was thinking, you know, I wonder if I'm one of those guys who did not.
That's a good kid story.
I know.
Come on, kids.
Let's tell a story about someone's children dying.
What is that? Can you put the hook in the mouth of the Leviathan or something like that?
Now here's the deal: in the children's Bible, and it's a good one, the Urgemeyer Bible I use.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But. You know, they kind of skip the old grab the haunches deal.
Right.
and then I thought, hey, man, I kind of bowed out on that thing. We'd like to go check it out. And it was weird. I came back when I was in the Philippines, I was talking to my wife, and apparently, like, that's where my oldest daughter goes. She digs on Job and reads through Job. I'm like, I love that kid.
That's awesome.
But anyway, I was thinking, you know what I don't know about myself? I don't know whether I'd be the guy if I looked around and said, hey, you know, my life isn't as cool as I want it to be. You know, would I be the guy that starts saying, you know, maybe God doesn't love me or I don't love God when my life doesn't look awesome? And I just had that conversation with the kids to say, look how foolish a thought this is to think that God doesn't love you or you don't love God just because you got a cough on you or, you know, you don't feel very well or whatever, you know. And that's true. But I remember when I was driving in, as I was praying, I thought either I have a positive attitude about a crappy life. Maybe my life's not rocking, but I think it is. So maybe that's cool. but then I think to myself, you know, what would it take? Would I buckle? You never know because you're not there, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily worried about it. It's just something I was thinking when I was praying in.
I was going to say, you have to be taken to your breaking point for you to know what it is.
Yeah.
You literally have to. There's no way to prepare for it. There's no way to know, you know, how you're going to react in a certain situation. You have to be taken to that point. You know, God's he's going to throw you through fire, and you're going to learn from it. And I think that's one of the greatest things. You know, so this is going to sound bad, but a lot of people think that I've been through a lot, and I appreciate those thoughts, and I really appreciate that empathy that I get. But I don't look at it that way. I look at it in a sense of, you know, I have gone through quite a bit, but I have learned so much more from it. I have become a better person and a better Christ follower and a better believer and part of the body of Christ through the transgressions that I've gone through. It's just it's awful sometimes. But at the same time, yeah, exactly. But at the same time, it's wow. You know, God, thank you so much for the trials.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate them. You've taught me and you've made me grow because of it.
Right. Right. And this is something that, you know, you mentioned, you know, going through Job, but we always see ourselves as like the Bible hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'd be Job in that story.
Yeah.
We don't see us as the guy who shows up and says, hey, you know, you're probably sinning. You know, we don't see ourselves as the guy with the bad doctrine. Totally
right.
Discouraging Job. You know you deserve this.
Yeah.
I mean.
You don't have any right to be upset, man.
I have very much identified with the blowhard friends. I thought, yep, that's me right there. Because like, so at points, those guys sound like half right.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you know.
At the most half right.
You know, point.
There's, I mean, there's time in circumstance. I mean, they've misrepresented God. That's ultimately their problem. But like, you know, on its own, like in pockets, there's things that they're saying. You're like, well, you know, I guess I could see that. And
take
I thought,
that completely out.
I thought that's me right there. I would, you know, I'd blow hard for a while. I'd find a guy who's run into trouble. I'd identify the things that in his life that are causing him these troubles, and I'd yell at him for a while. And I thought, yep, that looks like me right there. And then I learned my lesson.
Or I'd be the wife saying, why don't you just curse God and die?
Yeah,
like, exactly.
You know, obviously things aren't working out.
Why don't you just give up?
You're out of options. you're listening to Live from the Path, and it's good to thank you guys for hanging out with us. You're listening at livefromthepath.org or on 99.3 KTIA. It's good to have you either way. If you're listening on KTIA, the show can kind of get a little bit rowdy. So, you know, keep two hands on the wheel and get locked in and ready.
Oh, buddy.
All right. So here's what we got going on the show tonight. One of the things that we didn't get to last week that I wanted to talk about was what place improving your life has in the gospel narrative. Because there's a lot of strong teaching is that the truth is that from a salvation perspective, it's you can't do anything to save yourself. That's all God. God's done that. He's done everything that it would take to get there, and it's rightly focused on that it is not your work, that you didn't work your way up to God. He came down and rescued you. Agreed.
Isn't it funny though? We try.
Yes, very much so.
We know that. There's like this part of us that thinks we have some hand in
this. Yeah.
We'll be saved by our own deeds.
But,
if I just do this, maybe God will be like, well, in that case, you're okay. Come on in.
Yeah. That man did that one thing, and I thought it was great, and I have to have him on my team. Jesus, the general manager of the Dodgers. Look at the effort from that boy. And so we talk about that, and then it makes me wonder, just with sometimes where that conversation goes, you know, what room is there to improve your life? I mean, if a man is doing crappy in his life and he's doing poor things, what room do we have to come after him and say, hey, change your ways? And I've seen a lot of teaching kind of like, that's too much, and I'll walk through a little bit of that where that thought came from, and we can just talk through it a little bit. Because I'm just interested in where you guys sit with that. I saw a post on Facebook today, and we kind of talked about this. I think this comes up every year, but it's just interesting to walk through. There were 10 reasons I kissed Halloween goodbye, and there were 10 reasons as to why she's bailed on Halloween. And I want to walk through that kind of stuff and see if we're striking the right chord.
Became a dentist?
I think that's very much what it has been.
Had a lot of cavities.
Yeah, I'm just guessing. There's 10 of them.
Oh, yeah, one of them's got to be a dentist. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Also, we got some advice on Dear Life in the Path. Buva may or may not have Pope style.
Right now it's kind of
may or may not. Yeah.
Cardinal level right now?
I'm trying. Right, exactly. I'm not quite to the apostle level. I'm working through it. I want to make sure that I'm saying this correctly. That way I don't have to come back next week and apologize for saying what I have said.
Okay. I think that's fair enough. All right.
Like me. You get used to it.
Not you specifically. Hey, I've had to do it before. I'm just trying to get better at not having to do it.
Not mentioning anyone specifically, Dan Hudson.
For 6 months I was on the show, I was apologizing quite a bit. And then half the show was, no, Troy, that's not right at all. That has nothing. No, that's terrible. So.
All right. So here's where I'm coming from. And I, again, to set this up, the focus – well, hey, actually, I'll just read it. I think it'll help. I'm cutting way into an article, okay? But the – last part of a sentence flows into it. It says, therefore, see, the third and final point I want to make regarding the objection that preaching the gospel of grace is the most pressing need of the day is that it reveals the biggest problem with a lot of messaging inside the church. We've concluded that the focus of the Christian faith is the life of the Christian. Therefore, our messaging is shifted from Christ and Him crucified to humanity and it improved. Ever since the fall of man in Genesis 3, we've been obsessed with ourselves. Add to that fire the fuel of the Enlightenment's mantra, progress is inevitable, and the manifest destiny DNA that has marked our country since its inception, and it's no surprise that our man-centered culture of narcissism has seeped into the church. Whether it takes the crass form of health, wealth, and prosperity, or the more theologically sophisticated form of an obsession with sanctification and holiness, the bottom line is we have concluded that this whole thing is about our transformation, not Christ's substitution. Or to put it more accurately, Christ's substitution is a means to an end, the end being our transformation. I can hear the objections now. I'm not either or, it's both and. I'm not saying it's either or, but I'm also saying that it's not both and. It's primary, secondary, cause, effect. Those distinctions matter. So it just got me thinking where I think that's it's a more theologically sophisticated form of obsession with sanctification and holiness. So what room is there in our Christian life for thinking when God says, you be holy because I'm holy, do I not spend time thinking about what kind of actions I take, what represents holiness in my life? Or do I sit there and is the reaction to say, I've received grace, it is an out, holiness is a result of grace, it shall pour through me, I shall do nothing else? Or have I presented a false dichotomy? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to say yes. You are holy because God is holy. He has made you holy through his blood. At the same time, he's saying, now continue being holy. I don't know if it's either or. It's both, I think. So you live a set apart life because I have called you out from the world.
But I think the setup here is to say that through it is the result of the holiness that you are to attain is all a result of grace. Right. And so I guess I'm questioning, maybe the reason this is coming up is because in light of kind of this line of thought, I do see it where, you know, you see people that are trying to lead folks in a better life, like biblically solid. Here's the things that Jesus taught, Sermon on the Mount type stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Things from Paul, admonitions from 1 Corinthians, things of this nature.
And that is in the Bible.
Exactly. but you can count it. You can count it. 10 puts or less. Let's call it a Facebook, Twitter conversation, whatever, social media, a place where people can interact, okay? 10 inputs or less, somebody's going to show up with a either don't judge or a we're all sinners and we need the grace. Okay, and it is through Christ's holiness that we will be sanctified, you know, and all this, and basically these are all heart issues, these are not mind issues, and basically it plays off that there's no reason to advocate or to encourage people to change behavior or to be try to attain a holiness, not salvation. Don't see that the wrong way,
yeah.
Right? But to change your behavior to be in line with how Jesus and Paul and stuff are advocating, because. You know, really, you shouldn't have to work on that. It should just be an outpouring of what's been done in you.
This, like a sanctification thing.
Correct. Correct. And so it's never fails. It never fails. Like someone's going to pop in from that. And the thing is I don't disagree with them. It's what they're saying is true. But what's with the bail? Like, do we not have a responsibility to listen to Jesus when he speaks?
Yes.
To listen to Paul when he speaks and when they say, you know, change, this is how I want you to change your ways.
Right.
Like, is the way that I fix that is to sit in my house on my knees and pray 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 until I walk out of the house and it's changed. And if I go sin or something, then I go back. Or, like, is there an effort on my part to live a life that God's called us to be holy for?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there has to be an effort on it. Like, the conviction of sin through God is meant to point out the sin. Not just so you sit there and go, oh, well, that's there. Well, luckily I'm saved. It's so that you can die to that sin and then work on it to become better. Yeah. You know, Paul talks about dying to sin when we're baptized and then not going back to that. So when you become part of the process of becoming saved and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the baptism and everything is to make sure that you don't go back into the sin. And Paul talks about that as once you've left it, don't jump right back in.
And you have crucified it.
Right, exactly.
It's
you
dead.
Have died to sin. Your body has died. Don't go back and wallow in the mire. That's ridiculous.
Although we do.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Which is the fleshly struggle.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, we are going to sin. That for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We are going to. But that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to strive for that perfection.
Right.
That what's the point if we're not supposed to strive for the perfection? What was the point of Jesus calling out individual sins in his parables and individual things that at the time the society was doing if he wasn't calling them out for a reason of improvement? It's not just, hey, this is happening. Let's go have some fish and bread. It was, hey, this is happening. We need it to change. And then he even added on to the law with his changing and, you know, talking about adultery. And then anyone who looks at a woman with lust in his heart has committed adultery with her.
He went from the act to the thought.
Right, exactly.
Like you even You need to be controlling your thoughts.
Right. You think that your law is strict now. Here, I'm going to add this onto it. I don't care if you're acting on it. If you're even thinking of it, you're a murderer and you're an adulterer.
Yeah.
Calling out those individual sins and then making a very large deal of it with the Pharisees, with the Sadducees, with all of the people, telling the rich man to all this different stuff. I can't imagine that we're not supposed to work on that.
Okay. So would you agree, as this author would say, we've taken our eyes off of Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, to focus on ourselves, plain and simple?
No. I would say that we keep both in mind, because we do, we keep our eye on Christ so that we know where we need to go. Christ is, you know, Jesus, his example was so that we know where we need to be at. You know, that was the perfection that we're supposed to strive for. We're to strive to be Christ-like. And to do that, we need to self-improve, and we need to work on ourselves in our temporary state that we're in right now. But it's like the eye on the prize thing. Just because your eye is on the eventual goal doesn't mean that you're giving up on what you're doing now.
Yeah, it's what both. Does James say, you know, to be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word? You know, you hear the word of God, you read the word of God, it's like a mirror into your soul, and you walk away. And so there is some self-examination in that. There is self. I think the author's partly right, and we have become self-obsessed in that, like, we read every promise in the Bible and assume that was written to us.
Right. Yeah.
You know, oh, obviously God wants to, that's my promise. It's like, no, he really made that to Melchizedek, you know. Well, that's a bad example, but, you know, I mean.
Dang you, Melchizedek, taking all the promises.
And we will claim all these promises. They go, have you read that one? I mean, it's a great cliche, and we've heard that, you know, talked about. But go back to the context. Read it. What was that promise, and what did it really mean? You know, why was God saying that? Now, maybe it's to you too, but it wasn't. He wasn't thinking, you know, well, Bob in Denver, Colorado is going to hear this, and he's going to know I'm talking about him.
Yeah. Someday Dan Hudson from Johnston, Iowa is going to see a rainbow, and he's going to know I'm not going to flood the world again. That was for you, Dan.
Yes. No, actually, I think that is a promise.
I know. That seems pretty worldly, but that's a terrible example.
You're as bad as I am.
I know, right?
Yeah, Melchizedek.
Crap. So, I mean, is the answer to say that it is – well, so I think a lot of that comes into when we think of sometimes it comes off as an attack of the sovereignty of God to say you have things to change in your life. There's something that you can do, but I think the discussion goes a little awry, because it's not a salvation question,
right?
It's a question of, like, what type of time did James waste when he says don't be a double-minded man? It assumes that you have some sort of ability to respond to teaching. What's the use of teaching if you have no ability to respond to teaching? To, like, don't live this way. Yeah. Jesus wasted a lot of time on the Sermon on the Mount talking to people about what it looks like to be a part of a kingdom. Right. If they are not capable of saying, "Hey, I don't fit the description of the kingdom with the way I behave," right? In response, but we do that because God is to be glorified, because we have the grace to attempt it, right? And because we've not been judged and killed where we stand. And so I think there's a dichotomy that's presented that I'm not sure is an accurate dichotomy, but I think sometimes it's a punt. I think it's a punt because people say, hey, man, you know, the way your behavior is not consistent with what the Bible has laid out. And they're like, you know, I'm just going to keep praying that God would change that in me. Yeah, me too. But, like, you know, spend your money wisely. Don't buy pornography with it. Quit drinking with your kids in the house. How about a couple options where, you know, you just don't do that and line yourself, you know, you have the ability to respond. You do.
Right. Yeah. If there's no action towards, I'm going to say this carefully because I know that there's nothing that we can do to promise our salvation. It's not on us. Luckily, we have Jesus who has promised that and gotten that taken care of for us if we take the right steps. But if there's no action after the promise of salvation, then once people are baptized and we're pretty sure they're saved, I think we need to boot them out of the church. So that we can make sure that we make enough room for all the non-believers, because once you have the salvation, there's no action. We don't need to teach them anything. And I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
what's the point? Why are we having studies? Why are we even reading the Bible after we've done the whole, I feel like I've done the right steps and now I'm saved and I have a salvation through Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Well, that Bible was great, God. Thanks for letting me read it that one time. I'm
Paul
done.
Had no need to write
right.
all those letters, the epistles of churches saying, hey, no, don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. We basically just needed
you're okay. Yeah.
We needed the Gospels. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah.
And which
and so like just a little bit more with the article, it says, with this shift came a renewed focus on the internal life of the individual. The subjective question, how am I doing, became a more dominant feature than the objective question, what did Jesus do? And I guess my response to that is, I care how I'm doing because of what Jesus did.
Right.
Right. And so you're kind of putting, to a certain extent, you're putting a, agency behind something that I'm not sure it's adequate to do so. I don't sit and think, how am I doing? My guilt doesn't reside because I've sinned against myself, because I don't care.
Right.
The base nature of myself is like, boy, that seemed like fun. why would I be upset about that?
That was great. We right? should do that again.
Right. I mourn because I sinned against a loving God who continues to tolerate me, you know? And so I'm not sure those are it's presented in a way that says those have to be separate, but they're just reversed order. Because of what Christ has done in my life, I owe him absolutely right. everything. And because I know he knows better than me, I'm more prone to take his direction than mine. And so when he says, do these things that it may go well with you, right, I shall respond to such a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, I don't really care what the governor of Alaska is saying because I don't live there. But if I were to move there, suddenly I would care. I want to know, you know, it's the same thing. If I'm moving into the kingdom of God, then suddenly I want to know what the governor or the king
exactly.
You know, but if I'm not there, I don't care.
Exactly.
So
exactly, and that's true for a lot of things, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
There's kingdoms all over the place. Worldly kingdoms, Satan's kingdom, whatever. I don't care what goes on in there. I don't bow down to any of those.
Right.
Right. I care what my king is saying and how I should respond to serve his kingdom appropriately, and that includes not opening yourself up for attack from other kingdoms. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's the thing is like the types of things that I'm talking about that other folks are saying are not inherently, they're not wrong as a practice, but the finger tends to point as if there's not a connection between the two. And I think it's calling out a problem that may exist. I think it is true that you have folks that aren't in it to follow Christ. They're in it to better themselves. And agreed, that's a problem because it's such a shallow draw. Hey, good, we created a community and we created a time where you improved yourself, but we're ultimately separated from Christ, and like, what a waste. And so I agree that's a problem, but I'm not sure that that people who show up and are saying, you know, I want to do better, I want to be a better person, are thinking, I want to be a better person for myself. I'm not sure it's necessarily a selfish objective. It's an attempt. That's why you go to church. People can teach you to be better used in conferences all over the United States.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of books and tapes and stuff available to improve your life. It's a huge section in the bookstore. You don't go to the church to hear that, right? I go because of the authority that comes with the book that they're talking about in the church. I trust the author of that one.
There should be no self-motivation for you. I mean, I can't imagine trying to better yourself and be a good person without the whole salvation thing. Because why work on yourself? I mean, nobody's good.
Yeah,
nobody's a good person. Are you kidding me? You may lie to yourself and tell yourself that you're a good person, but guess what? You are ridden with sin. I mean, horrible, disgusting things. But luckily, we have a God that has set a standard by sending his son to show us perfection that we can, you know, strive for. Unfortunately, never achieve. But through that, that's the sacrifice. That's where Christ comes in. And thank God, literally, we have that. Or we would just be a shot in the dark. But yeah. I don't see where one is good without the other.
Well, and our whole faith is a faith of self-denial.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in this. I mean, there's great things in it for me eternally and that kind of thing. But I'm saying is I'm not going to live a happier life necessarily. Maybe a more joyful life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. But it's not like, hey, go out and do everything that feels good.
Right.
You know, you're all right. Jesus loves you. Have fun.
Yeah, exactly. What
it's pick up your cross, deny yourself.
Yeah.
Fun do we have to look forward to here? I mean, what Jesus says to the rich man, give up everything you have, you know, give the two tunics thing,
yeah.
Walk the second mile, all this different stuff.
Yeah.
Turn the other cheek every time you get hit. Yeah. I mean, all that kind of stuff. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me.
Yeah. Oh, but, and don't have sex until you're married.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know that thing what? That everybody else is doing yeah. that's mainstream and everybody loves it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And
yeah.
be married once. If you don't like it, too bad.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. yeah. You have to lead.
She's better.
Suck it up. Get a cat. Yeah.
Either lead in your household or submit. Yeah. I mean, yeah. it's just like, yeah. really? Where is that promise of fun? Jesus never says, oh, and by the way, coming up next Sunday, we're going to have an ice cream social. Yeah. No, next Luke. Sunday, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how you are not sufficient enough to yeah. save yourselves, but luckily I am here.
See, because it is about Jesus, and it is about me bowing to his lordship.
Right.
So I have yeah. to have both. You can't just cut me off.
Yeah.
One without the other. What that means to follow Jesus.
You've got Jesus without us doing anything, then we're just thinking that we're good enough to deserve that, and then we don't have to do anything. And then you have us without Jesus, and it's just futile where we're trying to be so-called good people by no standards that we have. Yeah, that's not going to work out. You need the combination of the two, or it's useless.
Right, and it's and I don't increase the salvation story by responding to that, but I do live a life that my Lord has called me to live.
Yeah,
and it's a response to living in a kingdom in which there is a Lord, in which I do obey to the best of my ability at the current time.
Yeah, absolutely. King of kings, Lord of lords. Bow down to him.
Yeah,
I was going to break out in a song. It's a good thing I did not.
The King of kings and Lord of lords. Glory.
I just read Revelation, so I love the way they do that.
I love that
what
one.
What is it? They had the King clap. Of kings and Lord of lords on a sty or something like that in Revelation? Something.
Oh, on a sty. I thought you said on a sty.
No,
like,
on his thigh.
What?
No, written on his thigh.
On his thigh.
That's what I thought, sty.
Oh,
like
good.
Pig sty.
I said
thought
a sty?
Yeah, that's what, yeah. yeah.
In Revelation, it says King of Kings yeah, yeah. and Lord of Lords was written on a sty.
No, I just.
And then the verse. Seventh angel blew his trumpet, and then a bunch of pigs came down from heaven.
Isn't thigh righteous and true? Isn't that the thigh?
Is it?
Well, is it the name that is.
I don't know.
Yeah, now I'm kind of.
Yeah, no, that's.
I stay, yeah. That one, the book creeps me out. I don't.
What?
I don't stay out of it.
Oh, I love it.
It's creepy.
Oh, I love it just because I'm like, God won.
Yeah.
yeah. You hit Revelation 20, think two. You know, God won. Hey.
Dominion, think you're cool?
You're not. You know what I ever thought of when we were talking about taking up your cross is that, you know, a lot of times we use that from a salvation perspective. Like he was going to die on that cross for sins. But like that wasn't the context in which he said it, right? Like we know that in retrospect.
Yeah.
But to the people he was talking to, like it more meant a revolution. Like, he was joining a revolution against, you know, starting a revolution against Rome, mm-hmm. and because that's how people that started to usurp the kingdom of Rome, that's how they died. But that was very much a worldly thing at the time. And, like, I think you can see it's an added layer to see it from a salvation perspective. But, like, to the people he was talking to, he's really saying, what I got going on, you're going to die with it.
Pick up your guillotine and follow me.
Yeah,
yeah exactly. What? Pick up your electric chair and let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right, so
murdered.
I don't know. It's not like I disagree. I think with some of the stuff that I read from the article, I think if you take Christ off his throne and start putting you up there and working on improving yourself, yeah, that's going to throw your life askew. That certainly isn't the point,
right?
But it is a mistake every time that you come upon something in your life that is sin that needs to be rooted out for you to fall back and just say, well. You know, I'm just, you know, it's all, you took the eyes off Christ on this thing for me trying to get the sin out of my life. Yeah, you pray through that because it's likely you can't do it on your own. You do need the help of Jesus. I'm with you on that. But like, you know, you have the ability to say, I will not type up things. I will not buy things. I will not, you know, visit a woman that does not belong to me. It's just like you have the ability to do that. And the Lord is certainly there to help you, but don't just bow out and say, well, it's none of me, it's always Jesus. Because, like, yeah, I agree with the base sentence, but you're using his lordship incorrectly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's becoming a scapegoat for it. And I think that's so sadly used as a fact that people think, you know, I'm never going to be perfect and I'm always going to sin. So that is an excuse to live in it.
Yeah. So
that is an excuse to. Yeah, exactly. The why try? I'm imperfect. God says it himself that I will never be perfect, you know, until salvation comes and things like that. So what's the point? And I just,
you know, it's like a subset of the that grace, keep sinning so grace may abound. By no means, right?
Right.
Like it's the subset is keep sinning so that God is revealed as more perfect.
Right.
Right? Or that he is glorified in my sin because I realize more and more that I'm not perfect and he is. I don't disagree with those things, but that's an abuse. Just like keep sinning so that grace may abound. By no means. It's the same principle.
Right. Mm-hmm. See, with the whole, that's one of the things with the sin in my life. I look at the fact that it obviously sin distances us from God. And it just makes me think of the sacrifice that Jesus made and the bridge created by that, that there's a connection between me and God now because of that sacrifice. I love that. And the more, sadly, this is not an excuse for me to do it, but the more I sin and the more I see imperfection and fault in my life, the more that promise and that miracle of Jesus' sacrifice just makes it just, you know, thank you. Thank you for doing that because I am just a disgusting guy. And I do things that are completely detestable by you, but yet you love me more than I could ever even understand and define the word.
All right, then. You're listening to Live from the Path. You can catch us during the week at livefromthepath.org and catch prior clips of the show. Sign up for the audio podcast with the bonus content. It's worth half of what you paid. And you can also find full episodes of the show, full video episodes, and within the next few weeks, you'll start seeing some action on some of our Christmas events, which I will tell you about here in just a little bit. We got a lot of great news, a lot of cool events going on, and things that you can come out and be a part of. And we'd love to see you out there hanging out with us at Live from the Path for our Christmas events, because Christmas is just awesome, and we want to get in on that awesomeness. We want to improve the awesomeness, but we got to get in on it. Where awesome is happening, you follow it. That's you right. Don't have to be awesome if you know where to find awesome and jump in on it.
Fair awesome enough. And join bandwagon on the awesome. Yes.
That's right. All right, so I saw a post today from someone about 10 reasons I kissed Halloween goodbye. And I'm going to try to see if I can keep my commentary to a minimum until we can get through some of these. Okay. So here's just an article. Someone says, 10 reasons I kissed Halloween goodbye. Here's number one. Halloween glorifies evil, not God. It's no secret that Halloween is all about witches and ghosts and fear and death. Haunted houses, Hollywood movies, even neighborhood patios are graced with blood and dead bodies and axe murderers. Ouch. Giant replicas of poisonous spiders and cobwebs, scary organ music, skeletons and gravestones. Can anyone deny that this holiday glorifies Satan and everything evil thing? Okay, first reaction. Yeah? Would you deny that the holiday glorifies Satan and every evil thing?
In its true form, what it's actually supposed to be, that's absolutely what it's for. What mainstream media families, kids do? No. Families and children are not walking around the neighborhoods. For the most part, I'm sure that there's offbeaten ones that do, but
like
for the most
the
part,
Kruger.
Yeah, exactly.
There's actually a lot of that, but
for the most part, there's not.
I bet it's a 50-50.
I disagree with that. I think that
maybe I live in a pretty bad neighborhood, though.
Possibly. I think that they're doing it because it's another holiday that they get to dress up. I don't think that they're doing it to glorify Satan.
Right.
You know, the person that's dressed up like a devil is because they saw a devil costume at Walmart for $6 and they thought the horns and trident were funny.
Isn't that funny?
Is Satan glorified unintentionally? I don't even know how it works.
I
think death is.
Yeah, gore and death definitely are glorified. Yeah. But I think for the most part, for that to be a reason to give up on the holiday, I don't know. I mean, if you don't want to participate, oh well, good for you. But I think that there's a lot more lighthearted intentions than anything.
Yeah.
People are dressing up because it's fun, and they get candy.
So here's a continuation that says, this is in quotes, "Oh, but our family only dresses in good costumes." We are quick to point out, as if somehow sugarcoating the evil with smiling pumpkins and sparkly Disney princesses costumes somehow changes the meaning of the celebration. So I guess the question is, can you, from a base nature, can you go out and collect candy from your neighbors on a day when everyone else is doing it and not be associated with worshiping Satan or glorifying him?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yeah. Very, very possible.
I think the key word there was the meaning of the holiday.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying. To 99.9% of the people, the meaning of it is, hey, I get some free candy and I get to dress up in a cool costume.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether it's a dead person or a mass murderer or,
right,
you know, headless horseman, whatever, they're not thinking, I love Satan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're not like, I am going Snickers to completely go against the holy God that I know exists and I'm going to glorify his opponent. I
mean, yeah. They're thinking, just, I get a Milky Way out of this.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to dress up like a princess because I look really pretty. All my parents take my pictures and I get a Snickers.
Yeah. And if I get an apple, I throw it.
Right.
Oh, that's a different.
And if that just gives me floss.
Even though we ourselves may not be involved in the practice of witchcraft, we give credence to the holiday by celebrating it. I've not handed out credence in years. This misrepresents me. Here we go. Item number two. If the seed is bad, the fruit will be bad. Sounds biblical. Halloween has never been a Christian holiday. The foundations of Halloween are occultic, and the symbols are traditions we continue today. Question. Has Thanksgiving ever been a Christian holiday?
No.
Do you have a cornucopia?
I do not have a cornucopia.
Evil.
Evil.
I wear one on my head.
Okay.
Actually, it was. That one actually specifically was, hey, let's thank God. Wasn't that kind of a presidential thing? A declaration of a thanks to God? I mean, I'm talking about that first
meal.
Was
it presidential?
No.
It was Ben Franklin. Let me ask you. Did I just say that?
Like, think about first Thanksgiving, wildly misrepresented in the way that we handle schools. But, like, I mean, those Indians weren't praying to Jesus.
No.
But Thanksgiving itself, I believe, was a presidential thing.
Declared
much later.
Well, when it was declared a federal holiday, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but the roots of it are not necessarily...
The Puritans from the Holy Church, or excuse me, the Puritans from the Church of England were giving thanks for the...
Yeah.
Whatever, the feast that they had gotten.
Yeah.
So I think you could loosely tie roots to...
More than most of the other holidays.
Well, right. Well, I mean, Okay, maybe I'm prematurely jumping to this, but at the same point in time, this person needs to take down their Christmas tree. This person cannot have Santa.
I don't like Santa.
You know, Santa spelled backwards.
That's not backwards. Damn. Never mind. Yeah. All right, here number three. Don't dine with demons.
Don't dine with demons.
Don't dine with demons.
Triple D. Don't dine.
Oh, has to do with the candy. Let's see. Was the one day of the year when the dead were allowed to come back into the world, commune with the living people? That's not accurate. People traditionally set a spot for the dead at their table. I don't do that. Inviting them in.
I don't think they really came back.
No. I mean, I have more chairs than I need at my table. Is that
an open invitation? Does it have to be on that specific day?
Excuse me. Why does a dead guy need a chair? I feel like that's unnecessary.
You look tired.
I've
been resting for centuries.
Yeah, why can't Uncle Jim John just come back on a random Tuesday? Why does it have to be this day?
That's a non sequitur. Why are demons, like, dead dining? What food do they need? Doesn't that seem awkward?
The turkey looks delicious.
Man, it's like offering an elephant a swing set. I mean, you didn't do the guy a favor. All right, here we go. Halloween is an excuse to flaunt sexuality. It's true.
Yeah.
Period. Halloween is becoming more risque every year. I agree with
that. Yes, I completely agree with that.
In fact, sometimes I think its real name is dressed like a porn star day. That's cute. Girls dress more provocatively and at much younger ages. I agree. Problematic. But does that, if you're not doing that, have you contributed?
Yeah.
I mean, I wore a saucy cat 3 years ago. But, I mean, I've totally changed my way since then.
I've gone out in a toga before, which is a little more revealing than my normal garb. So
they sell. Oh, listen here.
I dressed up as a woman.
I did that when I was little as well.
I've done that.
Everybody has done that. they sell.
As long as it's on Halloween, it's okay.
When it comes near Christmas time, people will sell a saucy Santa, right? Or like a, you know, you know what I'm saying? But do you chuck everything?
No.
Because some guy used it wrong.
That's because all of society tries to sexualize everything.
Correct. It's not a Halloween problem.
It has nothing to do with Halloween. I mean, they have the risque Easter bunny costumes that are around Easter.
That's what I'm saying.
And the risque Santa, the saucy Santa.
Yeah.
The saucy elf and all the different stuff.
A pervy St. Patrick.
It's just a really creepy looking turkey that no one really wants to see that much. It's ridiculous. That's because society has sexualized everything.
Yeah.
If you can show more flesh and cleavage, please do, is society's mentality.
And you think the cold weather would deter people, but people are pretty fierce.
Yeah, no, exactly.
All right, so I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I'm not sure that's the basis to chuck the whole thing. Number five, we play how we practice. Say we think we can entertain the macabre, erect gravestones in our front yards and prop dead bodies on our front porches. Oh, but they're not real, we demur. Then we are appalled when a 17-year-old has a fascination with dead bodies and decides to act on his morbid desires. I'm kind of with that to the extent, like, to what you were
half a point.
Yeah, to what you were saying earlier, when you desensitize things like death,
right?
You do run into problems. You see people that treat that, and I don't buy fully into the video games are causing that in people, but they do help.
Well,
they do help people.
It's a factor.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think just if that's the only thing going on in your life, I'm not sure that's enough to put you over the edge.
Yeah, if a mass murderer has been, you know, seen gravestones and the dead bodies in the front of somebody's yard because of Halloween. I don't think you can go back and make your defense case beyond, well, Your Honor, we desensitized death as a society, and we put gravestones and dead bodies in our front yard.
Yeah, like I misunderstood the context of my neighbor's decorations.
Right, exactly. I thought that they were saying that they wanted that to happen, so I did it for real in my front yard.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I mean, it may play some psychological point for surroundings affecting someone's psyche, but I can't imagine that it has that much of a connection.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's not problematic, and I'm not saying that there's not a potential impact to that. And like, you know, a lot of the things that people treat lightly in my family, we take seriously, right? And we talk about that stuff. That's not a joke, man. You don't want to be messing around with that.
Right.
Don't open yourself up to doing foolish things. Don't open yourself up to dark things. You know, we'll talk about that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, I don't fear that, but I'm cognizant of it because I believe there are realities behind those things. The guy that's kind of mocking it, he doesn't believe it to begin with. I'm not sure that he's the perpetuator. Six, are we causing others to stumble? Even if we don't believe it's dangerous to dabble in the ancient pagan practice of Druid priests, there's a setup. Have we given any thought to the impact our actions might have on others? Will our children learn values we want them to learn by participating in this day, or will they learn better values, perhaps even courage, from seeing a stand up against evil when our culture says it's fine? Have you caused someone else to stumble when they see the little girl that goes to the church walking around in the princess costume? Did you implicitly say it's okay? So then they think, yes, devil's gravestones, bodies.
Right, exactly. You're a stumbling block for me because I now have been open to the dark arts of the ancient pagan druids.
You guys might be taking a jump there. I think the idea is if I am of the opinion Halloween, I should not celebrate it, and I see you celebrate it, and therefore I start celebrating. I think that's their point, that I start celebrating it now, then I start my children down that slippery slope that I wouldn't have done if I didn't see you do it.
But she said, from seeing a stand up against evil when our culture says it's fine. Like, I guess that the basis of that is agreeing that participation at all is evil. Yeah, and I would agree. Joining into an evil practice just because everyone else is doing it is a problem.
Yeah, right. I mean, I wouldn't try to talk someone into doing it if they were personally thinking they shouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be trying to, come on, get a costume. Everybody's doing it.
I'm not going to be that guy. And I think we're probably far enough on the list that maybe it's kind of okay to talk about it, but like that's kind of where I'm at as a broad perspective. I mean, I get staying away from it. I get that. You want to do something else. That's totally cool. I don't have any reason. I don't think you're being ultra legalistic if you decide that, you know, it's just not for you. You don't want to have any part of it. I get that. Do I think you can participate in something like that without opening yourselves up to the dark side? Yeah, I think that's possible. I think you have to be careful. I think you talk about certain things. I can't remember if last year, I feel like we might have talked about it. It's like some of this stuff it's not funny and it's not a joke. And so there's things that you got to be very careful of. But like my kids aren't running into a skeleton isn't a dark evil thing. It's a God created bone structure, and we're like, ha ha, skeletons. Or, hey,
it's calcium.
Are there really things that come back and haunt? And like we've had demon conversations before. We've talked about the existence of stuff like that and how it's not something to be jacked around with. But can you go to your grandma's house and the people that live near her and pick out some candy by telling them a joke? Yeah, I feel like we can probably do that. That we happen to do it on the same day as other people who might be using the holiday incorrectly. It's not really a holiday. It's just it's an agreed get-together.
Well, if you go on the wrong day, they won't give you anything. They'll say, why are you at my door, stranger?
Yeah.
In a costume?
Are you here for canned goods?
It's like a shakedown.
I have some lima beans for the homeless if you want them.
I see there's a hatchet in your head. Do you need the hospital?
Exactly. That's a costume, right? It's not Halloween. Get out of here.
Don't bother me. It's totally cool. Seven, be faithful in small things. For many Christians, the thought of whether to celebrate Halloween is a small issue, maybe even a non-issue. I'm about to be guilty of this one. After all, it's only one day a year, and what harm is there really in a handful of Snickers miniatures and a pillowy pumpkin costume? You've got me pegged, madam. Let me answer in this way. Ooh, first, our character, integrity, and devotion to God is evident in the small things. Well, I'm not being faithful in that small thing. How are our hearts be faithful in big things? Premise would have to be that you are being unfaithful.
Right, you can only take that from the standpoint of this is against God.
Yeah.
And you're sneaking around trying to pretend it's not
right
against God.
If God came for the purpose of destroying the works of Satan, why do we then try, remember, imitate, and even elevate those very things?
Yeah, that doesn't hold water.
Yeah. All right. 8, God wants to bless us, but not in the way the world blesses. I don't even know where this is going.
Yeah, I was going to say, this list is quickly
degrading.
I've been
blessed by a Milky Way.
He doesn't want to bless us with Snickers. He might snicker at us.
God, in his divine sovereignty, did not give us Halloween for our entertainment.
Is that one of the points, or
I feel like he didn't give us Monday Night Football.
Right.
But exactly. You didn't write an article on that.
NASCAR wasn't for his glorification, I don't believe. But I mean, it might, but...
He did give us the Feast of Boots, where you get bloody drunk for 7 days.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. So, mandatory feast put on by the church. Yeah,
exactly. Every 7 years, you better do this.
Yeah. There's a favorite part. Like, you take your money and go, yeah, buy yourself something to drink.
A strong drink.
Strong drink.
A strong drink.
Like, instead, we thought we were missing something.
We better be faithful. I'm not a drinker.
Is this? Oh, come on. Okay, all right. Now, this has just gone to the ridiculous. Just like Eve in the garden, we believe Satan's lie that God was withholding something good from us. Is anybody really thinking that?
I don't think I've ever gone out on Halloween thinking to myself, God has told me that I can't have these Snickers, but I'm going to have them.
Oh, Jesus.
Satan has convinced me.
He's been holding me back.
God has shown me the greatness of this and has told me I can't have it.
Oh,
I want a Milky Way now.
All right.
I got $2.95. I'll buy my own package.
Right, exactly.
I
mean, that is ridiculous.
That was, okay. That, again, like I said, I can get on board with not doing it if you want to. Yeah. You've overdone it.
You've completely just destroyed the entire, the list has completely lost weight just because of that.
All right. Wow. 9, there is sin in the camp. Even if we think our costumes, our costumes are not sinful, as if it's the costume that's the problem and not the fact that we are still giving reverence to the holiday itself, because I worship the calendar. What about others who have decided, we follow, Easter changes on the calendar based upon the moon.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. What about others who worship the moon? Witches. What about others who have decided that there is nothing wrong with their costumes either? After all, they aren't really practicing witchcraft, just dressing up as witches. So do we excuse the dressing up but draw the line at Ouija boards? Big jump there, boys. What about pretending to cast spells? I've never seen a kid do that.
I have, because of the whole Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't give them a Snickers quick enough, they'll cast a spell or something.
No, they just, you know, if they dress up as a character from Harry Potter or any other show like that, and I know there's a couple shows that have wizards and witches and things like that, they hear the incantations from these shows. I mean, there were plenty in the books and plenty in the movies and plenty in the shows, and then reiterate them because there was cool special effect in the movie.
I
think that falls back on intention again. I don't think these people are trying to give into the dark arts and honor Satan and use their power for evil by, you know, dressing up as a witch.
Yeah.
I think that's a very large stretch. And I think that you have to be making quite a jump and quite an accusation if you're thinking to yourself, that person is dressed up as a witch or a wizard or whatever you want to call it. For Halloween, so they must be actually trying to practice the dark arts of Wiccan. I think that is quite a bit of a jump. If that were to be happening, oh, absolutely, they'd be completely against, and I would be 100% against that. But to just face value judge someone just based on a costume or the holiday itself, or organized get-together, as you called it,
to a certain extent, like I wouldn't let my kids dress up as witches. I'm sure that there's a significant issue with it, but I there's just protections in there. I just don't think there's any reason to
on
be.
On top of that, there's better costumes.
There's plenty of things to dress up as without doing that.
Yeah, you're dressing up as Belle or Jasmine from Disney. That's one thing. But
I mean, but you can be a llama. You know, look, there's a lot of options out there.
Please,
you know,
please make your kids a llama next year.
It's in the cards.
Yeah, I know. This is so inconsistent, though. It's like, you can't celebrate Christmas then because it's based on a pagan holiday.
Well, yeah, it's based on Yule.
Yeah, we can't celebrate most of the months because they're named after Greek gods. So it's like, oh, we don't do January.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, We call it, I don't know, you got to come up with your own. Right. I mean,
I don't even recognize the planet Mercury.
Yeah, exactly.
Jupiter, it's all evil.
Jupiter was a Roman god. I refuse to acknowledge its existence.
I call him Jack. Jack the planet.
He's Jimmy.
I call it a moon now, too.
Okay, then number 10, come out from them and be separate. Perhaps the reason I finally let go of Halloween was precisely because I didn't want to. I don't think I hold on to Halloween that strongly.
Yeah.
That is like, Lord, you'll pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
Yeah. I don't think I go Bible searching to find out if I should be doing Halloween or not.
You should be Bible searching.
Excuse me. Yes, solely for that reason. Obviously, we should always be Bible searching, but not for the fact of, you know, I'm going to go in and I'm going to look at Leviticus to see if there's a law against Halloween.
If it's okay, here's the explanation. If it sounds like a contradiction, let me explain. You see, the very fact that I kept coming up with reasons and excuses so I could continue celebrating eventually led me to question my motives. Why was I hanging on so tightly? Was it possible that my celebration of Halloween had become an idol to me? Certainly it appeared so, because still I embraced the traditions of men even when I knew God's heart on the matter. It's not an idol to me. It could disappear, and I would not give a flying rip.
Yeah.
It did not disappear. Not sure I still give a flying rip.
Yeah, most of the time I don't realize it's Halloween until someone's saying, hey, what are you going to be for Halloween? I think that's a clear sign that I'm not worshiping as an idol.
I was thinking angry, legalistic Christian.
Right. November 1st, I'm not like, oh, 364 days. We're close, guys.
You can get the costumes on sale the day after.
Right, exactly.
For next year.
All right. I get the heart of this. I do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I get the heart of this, and we had some laughs, and it's not at your expense necessarily, the person who wrote the article. But I don't know. Just be careful when you're slinging verses around.
Yeah.
You
know? Now, we turned it around. I had told you this earlier off the air that with our children, we turned it around to let's make this a ministry thing. So we'd go like to nursing homes. And they dress up in their like innocent type costumes and go to a nursing home, and the people there absolutely, it was such a huge blessing to them to have these little kids. Everybody loves seeing a little kid in a costume.
Yeah,
you know?
It's cute,
and it was cute, and they were just like oh and awing, and they just the elderly people got more out of it than the kids did. The kids, they liked their little lollipop. They had candy and stuff, and there were kids going through the nursing homes. So we'd go to a couple nursing homes just to be a blessing to those people, and it made it a positive thing.
I will tell you, when I show up to a nursing home in full costume, they don't think I'm that cute. So
Boova is Batman.
I'm thinking Gladiator.
I'm Catwoman.
But I do like Batman.
Yeah. I show up in my Leonidas costume, and I'm just like, where's the candy? They all get creeped out. It's nothing cute.
I went when I was like 15 as a vacuum salesman. Like, I had a fake, you know, one of those toy vacuums where you push it and the little balls jump up and down.
Jumping around, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, I had a whole spiel that sounded like the vacuum salesman from the Bugs Bunny cartoons, like the Acme vacuum salesman, Walla Walla Washington. You know, like,
That's awesome.
I made him put the candy down and I would, like, vacuum it up in a real sly fashion. It had to be so nerdy. No doubt.
I will tell you, one year I went as an off-the-job sumo wrestler. And so I just dressed in like a jeans and a t-shirt, and people are like, what are you supposed to be? I'm like, oh, well, I'm a sumo wrestler in normal like street attire. And they were just like, so you didn't want to dress up, huh? I'm like, yeah, really completely forgot about it and then realized we were going trick-or-treating tonight. So
do you have
there's
a
your costume. Yeah, exactly. I don't have a joke for you. Can I have candy? And they're just giving me candy. I'm like, all right, well, this is awesome.
Yeah, this is going to work out. Yeah. Hey, you know, here's the deal. I took the kids out for the last couple years. Man, I really hope it's not an idol. I took him out, and Grandma gave us candy, and I said, "Get back, witch! I don't need your sixlets."
How dare you celebrate this pagan holiday?
I'm sorry, I've overdone that. But anyway, so like we went, and like people are giving out some real junk candy. Yeah. I've been really disappointed at the like quality candy that's been available for me to steal. Because here's like we swapped the kids out. They get to keep a little bit, and then we trade them something like wayward, like something that's really not too bad for them for the rest of their candy, and then I get to eat the rest. And, like, I really got a raw bargain last year, and I was very not happy. Like, we've got to pick some better neighborhoods or something.
We're giving out little packages of mini cheese balls.
That's awesome.
Like the you know, the cheese puffs.
The cheese puffs?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I thought cheese.
I think cheese balls was perfectly descriptive. I don't think anyone was just like, actually, what is he talking
about? I was mistaken because for some reason I thought cheese log. I was thinking like a a hunk of cheese.
Here's a little bottle of wine.
Here's a couple ringlets of cheddar. There you go.
John's got some crackers down the way.
We do it's it like, up in Johnston.
It's basically, by the time you're done with this street, you'll have a nice little picnic for you and your family.
I see you have your caviar.
Did you get the meat pieces for the tray? That's awesome.
You're listening live from the Path. Thank you for listening to us so far tonight. We're there every Monday night at 10 o'clock here at livefromthepath.org or Saturdays at 7 p.m. by the wonderful folks at 99.3 KTIA. And Life from the Path is brought to you by the Eisenlauer team, serving the Des Moines and Ames areas and beyond. Eisenlauer does what he's got to do to make a living, you know?
Yes, yeah. He does.
So you can call Bob Eisenlauer. Go to theeisenlauerteam.com or call and get a hold of Bob. He's got a contact information out there on the website. And he can help you buy or sell your house. He's who I used. He's who Mike used last time he sold a house. Buva doesn't own any real property.
Nope.
So Eisenlauer's no help to him.
But if I ever did, I'd go to Eisenlauer.
You'd go to Bob Eisenlauer. That's right. He's the beans. He's been on the show before. He's a real cool guy. And check him out if you need to buy or sell a house. And if nothing else, give him a call and say, hey, Bob, thanks for sponsoring Live from the Path.
Absolutely.
Thanks for keeping him on the air. I didn't know what to do about Halloween, and now those guys gave advice, and I know to do the opposite.
And thanks for making it possible, Eisenlauer team.
Exactly right. Also, Westfield Veterinary Hospital here in Johnson, Iowa, they're a full-service pet care center. We've had our dogs in there. I don't have a cat. They have one of those, you know, a lot of those vet hospitals have the cat that sits out front. They had a cool cat out there hanging out in the front. Keeps an eye on you when you come in.
Fair enough.
Looks a little dangerous.
You get eyed by a mangy cat on your way in.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
But like those guys have always taken great care of our pets. And make sure you check them out. It's Westfield Veterinary Hospital here in Johnston. And take your dog, cat. Hey, listen here. I know you put it off, right? Times were tough like 3 or 4 years ago. You didn't get the shots you were supposed to. It's time to pick it up, buddy. Get your dogs in there. It's time really to get it taken care of. That's what I'm saying, Hudson.
You're talking to you.
You're the guy.
My dog even has little growths all over it now. I'm just like,
that's disgusting.
It is.
That's not right.
Like, I can't take this thing in.
You're listening to Live from Path. Hey, real quick, before I let you guys go from KTAA, some big announcements. Christmas from the Path, for the second year in the row, is coming at you. We got two live shows with some folks that have been on the show doing some Christmas tunes. It's going to be Jeff Arundale and his all-star band. We got a show coming up in Johnston, and that's on December 6th at the Simpson Barn. And at Zeke's in Ames, we're coming to you, Ames. We're coming up there.
We'll be there at Zeke's,
and that's at the end of November. And so I'll give you some more details. We'll get some stuff on the website. But start making some plans. Pencil it in. You're going to check out the Live from the Path Christmas from the Path event. We're doubling it up. We're going one in Johnston, one in Ames, and we hope to see you there. And also, we're going to release our first Christmas album. That'll be just after Thanksgiving, Christmas from the Path Volume 1. I'll tell you more about it next week. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. I love these guys, by the way. This was Now Serving 7. They were in studio just a few months back. I really wish I could check them, catch a live show.
They're good.
I dig on it, man.
Yeah, it was good.
Those guys are sweet. Hopefully we... I think Arundale's trying to talk him into coming to the Extravaganza.
Ooh.
Or the Christmas from the Path.
Very nice.
That'd yeah,
nice.
That's exciting. That's cool. So they're in the process of we've got all the rights secured for the tunes and stuff, and they're mastering the audio right now, and should be distributed. I'm hoping following Thanksgiving, depending on how quick like the distribution partners pick it up. But that Christmas from the Path Volume 1 will be available on Amazon. You can pick it up on iTunes. You should be able to stream it on Spotify. All the major channels where you get music, you can pick it up. And It's very, very cool. We got Jeff Arundale and the All-Star Band from last year are on there doing some Christmas hits. And Chandler Knutson, who's been on the show, designed the cover for us.
Nice.
And so we very got some nice. Artwork. And it's like all kinds of cool stuff going on. And I'm excited for the show this year. It's going to be very, very cool. I'm excited to go to Ames to do a live event up there. We haven't been up there for a while. And yeah, I think it's cool. Christmas is going to be awesome.
It's going
to
be
awesome. Live from the Past stuff going on. And here's the deal. If you come out to the Christmas shows, we'll be recording those. And, you know, using it to put together our Christmas from the Path Volume 2, which will be released, sometime next year, getting close to the Christmas holiday. So, be a part of a live studio audience, not only for the Zeke's. Well, here's the deal. We're working on this, but I think we'll be able to live broadcast the Zeke's show during our normal broadcasting hour on that Saturday. Because, usually what we have to do is record it and then you know, we'll prepare it for broadcast and we'll put it on, you know, whenever we can. But we're going to try to pull off a live broadcast from Zeke's with the Christmas from the Path from the AIM show. So that's
nice.
But you got to come. You can be part of that live studio audience and potentially part of the audience that shows up on the CD. It's very awesome. So come out to that. All right.
It's another awesome experience.
No doubt. Boo, would you ever land on some Pope style? Or was that a no-go?
It's a no-go. I think I'm going to spend a little bit more time thinking about it and doing some Bible searching, because I want to make sure that I'm continuing to do these and not just throwing stuff out there for no good reason. So I may bring it next week.
Okay. That's cool. I'm with you. All right. Well, let's do it. Let's hit a couple Dear Life from the Path. People need some help, man. They need some advice. Times really are still tough. The news makes it sound like times are tough, but they're still tough. People need help. They need direction. They've been doing Halloween and stuff. We got
to
talk about it.
I was going to say, we're getting close to a possible idol for people.
No, I know.
They need help.
It's coming right around. It was just a stretch. Halloween cannot be that important to somebody to be an idol. I don't know.
Maybe.
There we go. What do you think, Dan? Could be?
I don't. If you can't give it up, I suppose it is, but...
I don't know anybody that's addicted to Halloween. Yeah, just don't.
They just do it because, hey, it's fun.
I know people that really like Halloween, but I wouldn't call it an idol.
Yeah.
All right.
There we go. Dear Life from the Path. I am divorced, successful, and the father of two teenage girls. I have been seeing my girlfriend Stella for a year and a half. No doubt that's her real name. She also has two teenage daughters. When we met, Stella's divorce was becoming final, and her house was near the tail end of a foreclosure. The sheriff removed her from her home a few months later. Starting off well. Here's the deal. Mike can handle this better. I can't not comment as it goes by. I bought a couple of condos and let Stella choose one she wanted to move into. She agreed she would pay the bills and some rent once she settled in. 2 weeks after she moved in, she quit her job. It's been almost a year and she hasn't gone on one job interview. I pay all her bills now, and I'm getting resentful. No doubt. It's not the money. I've got plenty. But I feel she continues to see me only so she can live rent-free. Our communication isn't the greatest, and she gets angry if this topic is brought up. How should I approach her without sounding like a cheapskate? Don't want to be a sugar daddy in Chicago. I have a few ideas, but what are your thoughts?
Okay. First off, I love his list of attributes. I am divorced, successful, and then the father of two kids. That was great. That was just...
Could be while he's divorced.
Right. Exactly. That was just an award-winning description of yourself. That was great. I think that you need to take a stand, dude. You absolutely need to take a stand. She's going to completely walk over you the entire time that you are allowing it. If I had the choice to not pay bills and not have to worry about it whatsoever, or take up some responsibility, become a working adult, get a job, and pay some bills, you know, if I had the ability to have someone who is doing that, and for the most part not bickering, and then not man enough to bring it up to me because I might throw a little bit of a fuss, oh yeah, absolutely, I'm not getting a job. I'm going to be sitting at home 40 hours a week. It's going to be great. By the way, can I borrow some money to go out on Friday night?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. With your friends. Yeah, exactly. I need to take all four of our daughters out. Come on. Dude, you are getting walked on.
Yep.
And if you're actually in a successful relationship that should be going well, that kind of conversation about finance shouldn't be something that breaks your relationship. So if it's actually strong enough for this to go anywhere, you should feel comfortable talking about finances and talking about adult concepts and them not acting like a child.
Yeah. I would say, dear sugar daddy.
Yeah.
Begin eviction notice immediately.
Make sure you file all paperwork correctly. Yes. Notify everyone who needs to be notified. Follow the legal process.
Yes.
And evict her.
Because she's evicted the relationship a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Without sounding like a cheapskate? I mean, come on. Get a proper view of yourself.
Yeah, giving somebody a 20 every once in a while and then freaking out about it. I can see that being a big deal, but you're paying someone's cost of living. I don't think you're being a cheapskate by bringing it up, no matter how much you make.
A person who has no intention of supporting them. I mean, here's the deal. They want to get married, and she wants to stay home for whatever reason. Okay.
That's different.
Yeah. Okay, you talk to me about that. I can deal with that.
We can work it out.
But like, hey, I'm not willing to commit to you, but I'm going to stay in one of your condos, and quit my job and not get another job and just let you support me, that's not healthy.
Right. The 2 weeks after wasn't she was terminated or she was let go because of a mass firing. It was she quit. So my thought process, and this may be a jump, is, well, looks like I'm set from here. Who needs to work? And then not going to a single job interview in over a year.
And here's the deal. the lady that has the broad attitude that says, looks like I'm okay off of somebody else's dollar. Maybe I don't have to work. Maybe that's not wife material.
Yeah, that's not really wife material. That needs to be a partnership, not a mooch.
And I don't care. Here's the deal. Is I don't care if my wife did work. You know, she could stay home if she wants to. I don't bother me. But if her attitude is to say, yeah, you know, I could work. I'm just not going to because we're not married, but I just get this condo and I think I'll just stay here.
Man.
Yeah. No, that's not a lady. And if you can't, communication perspective, you cannot approach someone. I grant that married couples have this problem. It's probably the biggest problem among married couples is talking about money. But like, you know, grow up. You're going to have to grow up. And like, if she's got the fingers in the ears Pharisee style when Jesus is talking about stuff, it's just it's time to cut the rug, man.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to be a sugar daddy. I would like for him to take all of the I need advice portion out of that and explain to someone, I have a girlfriend, Stella, that I've been with for a year and a half. She lives in a condo that I bought. I pay for everything. She hasn't been on a job interview in over a year. Am I a sugar daddy? I think the answer to that question 100% of the time is going to be yes.
There's no checkbox.
Let me think.
Yes, no, or other. No, it's yes.
Some people are geniuses when it comes to business and have no clue how to do relationships. I'm guessing that's this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can make $1 million in a day, but can't figure out Stella.
Yeah.
I feel like
walk away.
Hey, let's see if he wants to sponsor the show.
Who?
And this, we gave you some advice.
I don't, maybe give us a con.
I don't know how
to say. I don't quit my job if he gets me a honk.
He said he's got plenty of money. Yeah. And he obviously puts money to things that are not in his best interest and lets it continue. I feel like we fit the bill.
If he ever talks to us about not wanting to sponsor the show anymore, we just have to put up a little bit of a fuss and he won't want to talk
just
about
it. Just be a
cheap. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, wake up. He's such a cheapskate.
Hey, Sugar Daddy in Chicago. Just do it, man.
Yeah, we love you. I have two daughters.
Take care of my daughters.
If you bring it up again, I'm going to be angry.
Exactly. If you loved me, you wouldn't bring this up.
All right. Secular advice. Dear Sugar Daddy, of course she gets angry. Have you never heard the saying, the best defense is a strong offense? If you want to resolve this, you must be prepared for Stella to react negatively. That generally is what happens when conversations begin. All conflict has this basic premise to it.
Right.
Start the conversation by saying, when you moved into my condo, you agreed to pay your own bills and some rent. It's been a year, and you haven't even looked for a job. Excellent. I mean, she's really worded that in a way that, I mean, I feel like he couldn't come up with it.
Let's make this as legalistic as possible.
Slow it down. I need to write this down.
Yeah. You moved into whose condo was it? Pay whose bills? Then give her a date by which you want her to move out. Because she's been living there for some time, she may have certain tenants' rights that will have to be respected. It doesn't take a crystal ball to see that you will probably have to evict her. So talk to your attorney before you discuss this with Stella.
Yep.
That's a bummer.
I love that. We've been in a relationship for a year and a half, but I'm going to start out with this script that I got from Dear Life.
Yeah. Wait. Please sit down.
You think she loves me?
I have something to speak to you about.
Please have a seat. Oh, wait. That's in brackets. I'm not supposed to say that.
Let me preface this with, I'm successful and have two daughters.
I'm divorced, successful, and have two teenage daughters.
Dear Life in the Path, I am the mother of a 31-year-old son, Johan? What? Do they insert the... Do you get to pick your own name, or do they...
I don't know.
I'm sure.
Johan.
Maybe. I'm going to go with Johan, because that's sexier.
Bastion.
All right. I'm the mother of 31-year-old Johan, who dresses as a sexy cat for Halloween, who is in the Navy. He just posted a picture of himself in his uniform on Facebook. I'm praying it's not his official photo because he made an incredibly stupid face on it. He used to do this when he was a child. Even his high school photos look like this. It is embarrassing to me. I can never show it to anyone and proudly say, this is my son. Johan is an accomplished young man, a supervisor. But I can't reconcile this picture with the man he is. What can I do?
Maybe take a little bit more pride in your kid.
This has happened before.
I can't take it.
Did the same thing you did last time. Here's my silly son.
My son is serving his country and is successful in doing so. But he made a funny face, so I can't be proud of him. What is wrong with you?
I could never show it to anyone and proudly say, this is my son.
What is wrong with you? Seriously, this is, you have been the parent to this man for 31 years. What?
I can't take it.
I'm not
sorry.
The parent to any for any years. And I, ugh.
It could be that your son's picture is not about you.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And more about him.
Yeah, exactly. This is my dreams and my future success that went right into my son, and I need to live it out. Yeah. He made a funny face, so I can't show anyone. That is ridiculous. You know what you need to do? Here is my advice from Life from the Path. Get over yourself. Be proud of your son for the fact that he's doing something. I'm not even going to bring up the whole fact that there's a lot worse things that could happen because you know that. You are an adult. Act like one.
I could never show it to anyone.
My advice is find someone you are proud of attractionally and Photoshop the face into your son's body and see if anybody thinks you're ridiculous.
Or you can just tell your son, hey, I would have been proud of you if you would have made a straight face.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's going to go over real well with your Marine of a son.
Right. I'm glad that you're serving your country, putting your life at risk for others, and that you're a supervisor. But no, I can't have pictures of you around my house because of that silly face you do.
Hey, Mom, did you show Aunt Mary that picture? No. Of course not.
No, absolutely
you
not.
You saw that face you made. She can't see that. She might judge me on previous actions. Yeah. She may have preconceived notions about someone making funny faces and think that I have an unsuccessful son.
Yeah, perhaps I raised you to make that face. I did not.
I told you when you were 14 that if you kept making that face, it was going to get stuck that way. And here we are now.
I bet you do Halloween, too.
Yeah, and you won't give that face up because it's an idol.
I bet you would pay for someone's condo. Yeah.
All right. Our advice is to get over it. All right.
What's your secular on
secular
that one?
Secular says, dear freaked out in Germany, your son is an adult. If he is making this expression in photographs on purpose, perhaps it's time you asked him why. While it may be a display of immaturity on his part, because no legitimate man serves his country with a face like that, it could also be that he is uncomfortable in front of a camera.
I just googled Johan Navy picture.
That guy looks awesome.
Is that a silly face?
There he is.
Doesn't really show up on the camera.
I think he's respectable to me.
Sorry.
Okay. While it may be a display of immaturity on his part, it could also be that he is uncomfortable in front of a camera. Many people are. It's referred to as deer in the headlights syndrome.
He could have hemorrhoids.
I'm sure.
I'm sorry. What? Did you just say deer in the headlights syndrome?
That is the thing that people say to distract from the fact that perhaps you can't take a reasonable picture.
I've made a funny face in a picture before. I must be afraid to have my picture taken.
Oh, man. Okay, so, all right, here we go. Explain that you would love to have a picture of him that depicts how he really is. Excuse me. If that's every picture, that's how he really is.
There you go. Right. He's been doing it since high school. You realize this is his personality, right?
And ask if he would be willing as a favor to his mother to sit for a session with the professional photographer when he comes home for a visit. Nothing like a little Olin Mills to capture the moment. If he isn't, then perhaps he'd be more relaxed posing for a photo that you take.
Oh, my gosh. Now, look stoic. Johan, no smiling.
You embarrassed me for the last time.
For shame, son. Wow. You obviously... Seriously, he's been making this face since high school. I'm sure this is his personality, and you've always had a little bit of a problem with it, but now you have blown it way out of proportion.
Oh, man. I can't... we're going to have to call it a night. I can't take anymore.
Johan.
Johan.
Johan, you do not smile like that.
My embarrassing Navy son with a goofy face.
I can just see this mom like looking really angry at a dinner. Like, this is Johan.
He's this way. Maybe she's the. Maybe
I promise he's supervisor.
Maybe she lives in the condo. Like, maybe she doesn't even. She didn't count him as a son though. She's disowned him.
Yeah, this is Stella. Yeah. She's the mother.
I think for Christmas, Johan needs to get his mother some photo mugs.
If I were Johan, I would take as many pictures like that as possible and continue to post pictures of myself in uniform making goofy faces.
My mom befriended me on
Facebook. Accept me, mother. I am successful.
It is a supervisor.
I promise he's successful.
Even with that face.
The pictures that he takes, he is successful.
I like, well, what? All right, we're out. You're listening to Live from the Path. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for signing up for the podcast. It's good to have you on. We will see you next week. Have a good week.
Have a good one.